right? Now, this is a prophecy. By grace and truth, iniquity is purged. The law came by Moses. But what? But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So grace and truth were crucified. By grace and truth, iniquity is purged. That's the only way. But by the fear of Jehovah, men depart from evil. Depart from evil. I love the first verse in the book of Job. It's delightful. It's tremendous. I don't know, not too many people read Job. Not too many preach on it, and many of them that do mess it up. So better they wouldn't to preach it. But there's some that know how to preach on it. I've heard good messages on it. Now here's the verse of first verse in Job, I remember it. There was a man, and believe me, he was a man, all right. Ishaya. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And notice what the Holy Spirit says. And he was perfect and upright. Tam Vayashar. No stronger words in the Hebrew exist. Well, a lot of us are afraid from the word perfect. We try to say perfect means mature. Well, I've got news for you. The same word that describes Job's perfection describes God as being perfect. Let me ask you, when did Jehovah God become mature? Come on, answer me. He didn't have to become the same word. Why does it mean perfect when it talks about Jehovah, Jehovah's ways? The law of God is perfect, says in Psalm 19. But only when it comes to man, a saint, they say no, because nobody's perfect. Well, God knows that the way we are born, the way we are made, we're not perfect. Because nobody is perfect, that's why Jesus came and died. Don't you see? Because what God will have nothing else but perfection. So I know nobody's perfect. But don't you realize if we receive the new nature by the new birth, that new nature is perfect. And if we allow the new nature to work and we don't feed the old nature and we step on its head every time it lifts its head, we kick it, surely we'll walk with God in perfection. Now, that doesn't mean sinless perfection. Sin, to be sinlessly perfect means you cannot sin. That's when you're sinlessly perfect. When just you can't do it. See, the only ones right now that can't sin, who are sinlessly perfect, and have been ever since their creation, are God's holy angels. They can, because they made their choice. Oh yes, we as a saint can sin, and very unfortunately, and very disgracefully they do. But that's not what God designed. God's design is found in 1 John 2:1. My little children, these things write I unto you, that what? Sin not. Is God kidding? Now, God said to Israel, Tamim tahayu, perfect ye shall be. And he punctuates it, and ye shall fear your God. Go together. All right? Let me finish that verse. He was perfect and upright. Perfect means he was that way in God's, as he stood before God. Upright, straight line. Straight, up and down. No bend, no crooked, you know, no fault. Then it says, and he feared God and avoided evil. See, there you have his standing in God and then his walk with God. Now remember, who wrote the book? Well, you may say Moses. It's all right. But who wrote the book? The Holy Spirit. And that was written after Job had lived and died. Now, was the Holy Spirit exaggerating, or was he telling the truth? So there you have it. By the fear of God, because it says that Job feared God, and hence he departed from evil. So he had both negative and positive. You heard me mention the parents of John the Baptist time and time again. You know, if we read the Christmas story, Christmas is going to be here. I wonder how much we're going to learn from Christmas, or how much we are going to unlearn about it. The Holy Spirit, using the pen of Luke, in chapter 1, verse 6, being in that day, a priest named Zechariah, and his wife was named Elizabeth, a beautiful name, Elisheba, and she was of the daughters of Aaron. He was, of course, a priest. And they were both righteous before God. Do you realize, dear ones, that you cannot be better than that, and God doesn't require any more? If you and I are righteous before God, then you're standing on the top of Mount Everest of Christian experience. It's the ne plus ultra of Christian living. Can't go beyond that. But that was their standing in grace with God. But then what does it say? And they walked in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord. How? Well, they were made of the same flesh and blood as you and I. But if they could do it, why can't we? What's the good of reading about it if we don't read our lives into it? You see? All right. Maybe sure they feared God, all right. So, by grace and truth, iniquity is purged. By the fear of Jehovah, by the fear of God, men depart from evil. Why? It furnishes the motive. Fear of God gives us a motive to depart from evil. It fortifies the will. You get the steel of the fear of God into your will, then your will is pure, plain, solid steel that Satan can do nothing with. When he hits it, it'll just make him bounce back like coming up against a powerful spring. It'll just repel him. It frustrates the devil. All right, we continue. Now let's go to Proverbs 19:23. The fear of Jehovah leads to life, and he who has it shall abide satisfied, and shall not be visited with evil. So, it is the benefit of a life that is satisfied, secure, and serene. The fear of God leads to life. Then notice, it is the bringer of life, riches, and honor. Let me see, I didn't give that text in Proverbs. It says, by humility and fear of Jehovah are riches, honor, and life, and I did not put down the verse. I know it's in a further text. Do you have it there in your son, in your Bible?
No, I'll see if I can find it.
All right. And this is the last that we have it in Proverbs. Now we go to the Psalms.